It is Thursday, the 7th of November, and this is episode 188 of Digital Outbox. Hello, it's another sunny Thursday that's been rainy. I am Chris, joined as ever by Ian, behind the podcast.
Good evening. I am certainly not the voyage.
You can't talk. You're not the voice behind it.
No. How are you?
Yeah, good at the moment. Well, I say that. We'd literally had 10 minutes of slagging at each other's days off. And as soon as you get on the podcast, it's a bit like meeting friends, isn't it? You say, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, everything's good.
Basically, I'm still kind of in a job and you just had a rubbish day.
Yeah, pretty much.
So let's crack on with the news.
Let's do it, because BlackBerry's also not been having such a terribly good time of it recently, because their latest investment of Fairfax came along and said, right, we got loads of money. We'll come probably and buy BlackBerry for you. BlackBerry said, okay, let's do it. But they've just come back and said, no, we're not doing it anymore. We haven't got the cash.
What a turd. This is just like one stumbling fail to another.
So they're now in a situation where they're having to go cap in hand to investors and sort of giving them out temporary sort of investment slips, if you like. And they have managed to raise some money from that, of which Fairfax have come up with a bit and chipped in. So they are still ticking over. But they're getting rid of their CEO. They're replacing with a temporary interim CEO, and they're just trying to pimp themselves everywhere. But it, basically, because they're having to go and just get this tick over money, everyone's sort of saying, oh, "This is really quite serious."
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like a death march.
Death march of a company that has so many assets and so many things and, you know, infrastructure all around the world, which people would kill for, and they can't sell themselves.
And I'm not surprised that like Apple and Google not stepping in. I'm really surprised Microsoft don't go and grab it and say, you know, this really kind of tags on at the enterprise market, and it would just give us such a win.
I think they'd be happy to see them die, because they know they're going to get that business anyway without having to take on the bad debt.
Yeah, but I still think if businesses are forced to look elsewhere, it's going to be, that's when you will see a Google or an Apple stepping in. I really
maybe
do believe it.
Okay. I can't see it. I think this might just be left to die.
Maybe.
But yeah, I mean, the CEO getting kicked is, you know, he's only been in place for 2 years. And okay, he did oversee the Q10 and the Z10, which didn't improve things, but I don't think that was necessarily his fault. I think he came up and oversaw those. They were quite good products. They just weren't the right timing. They were 2 years too late. And I don't think you can blame that on him.
And the thing is, I don't think they were 2 years too late. We mentioned, Windows Phone, was it 7, 5 or 8 came out, that Microsoft had kind of held their hands up and said, we're too late to react to not only iPhone, but Android. And BlackBerry the same. They almost, you know, chuckled. They almost stood back and went, ha, ha, ha. Which fool wants a phone like that?
And they were in such a dominant position that, you know, at the time, they sounded quite sensible. But yeah, no, I think, unfortunately, how things play out. My prediction is, I think they might just get looked over.
I think they'll just drift into insignificance. They might just end up being one of these corporate-only companies, and that's about it.
Then it's not going to be long before the shares all stop trading, because they're already dropping. They dropped 15% on the news of this sort of rescue plan, if you like.
Well, it's just stumbling.
And they're going to be worth absolutely zero, and so they will pull them.
And this just seems to stumble. You know, it's like one bad idea to the next bad idea to the next bad idea.
I think some of their, the problem is that when you're in the, you know, the share market and the public share market, that it's so volatile that you can't afford to have a bad report, because people just, the modern day thing is win a quick buck. And they, you know, as we're going to go on and talk about next, and people aren't interested at all in the long term, and they certainly pull their money out pretty damn quick.
Nope, agreed.
Get money quick, lose it quick. Twitter IPO on that topic. So they have now released their shares, right? And they released them at the high end of their valuation.
So they increased their valuation, which I think we touched on the valuation a little while ago, and they moved it up and said it would be between 24 and 27. But when it came out today, it started at $26.
So that was pretty much right at the top of their estimate, basically.
Yeah, but it almost doubled. They're now at $45.
Quick buck. And that's, but it's how long can that, will that last? And I said when they initially announced, what is it that's made them that valuable? And this is surely a bubble. You were a bit more on Twitter's side saying, you know, they've got a value somewhere. Mm. I think investors, it's such a dangerous time for them. Such a dangerous time. Are people just going to sell again because they've just doubled their money?
It feels like a bubble. But then Facebook really struggled initially. But their kind of last sort of 2-3 quarters have been doing really well. Their share price has actually picked up by lots. And there's some worries there for them because they're actually saying teens are drifting. You know, they're going elsewhere. And that's obviously what they see as their future. And remember the charitable thing that was all about how do we get the next billion online? And it's nothing to do with getting billion. It's how do we get the next billion into Facebook? How do we get them into, you know, our ecosystem? Because they are almost like the next AOL with that kind of walled garden. Everything's, you know, within Facebook. You can get photos and do all this and that. And
we've said many times before how for some people, Facebook is the internet. It's not even part of the internet. Is the internet. And I guess there are a lot of investors who are seeing all the bricks and mortar stuff that they used to invest in. You know, then that's not working. So maybe they're just looking to pump that money into these other companies. But it's not just pumping this. The problem is you've got to have a return eventually. And okay, a value of a share is fine, but if your company's fundamentally not making money, then the value of that share is worthless. And I just don't see where Twitter are going to make that money.
No, I think the risk is as well that instantly you've turned, you know, dozens of people into, you know, million or billionaires with this IPO. Do they still have the same hunger? In a year's time, do they drift away? You know, do the people that were driving it?
Absolutely, they drift away. Then you get replaced by committee, all the inspiration and the spark that went to create that company. Like you say, they're magpies anyway. They want their next shiny thing. They'll go and chase after it. So, I mean, you've already seen with the people that do Twitter, they've already started up loads of other projects anyway.
Yeah, so you've seen Square and a few other things. And obviously, Ev Williams is doing loads of different kind of blogging formats, you know, just different, almost like through, it's a bit like a Samsung, you know, putting lots of stuff out there and one of them will stick. And it'll be sticky enough that's good enough.
Yeah, I'd say, and they're always interested in the next thing. That's part of their nature. Anyway, at the moment, if you bought shares at release, then you're up. Let's see how long that lasts. Tell I'm not a share investor.
It's back to how do they make money? And it's going to be adverts. I mean, that's clear that that's what they're chasing down. And it's whether they destroy the platform that they've got by, you know, all the little tweaks and changes that they're making.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Their web and iOS clients and Android clients now feel like Facebook. You know, it's like the photos are all fully popped out.
I mean, you might start getting, you know, these verified accounts that have that many million followers. I think they could legitimately charge those kind of users, because I think those users would pay.
Would you care? I mean, I'm not verified, you're not verified, but would you want to be verified?
The real Chris Hutchinson.
Yeah.
The real cheesy. No, but then that's not the arena I'm in, is it?
But I always thought, had a sneaky feeling that verified initially started off with, that's how you know it's the real, you know, Lady Gaga, or it's the real whatever. And all the brands are doing, obviously went down that route, but it's starting to filter down to more and more. That's how you know it's a real tech journalist. That's how you know it's a real journalist. That's how you know it's who's blah, blah, blah. Will they eventually get to a point where they could be used as some authentication system? And I know they are for lots of apps. You know, you can sign in with Twitter, but is it going to get to a point where it's all tied in with payments and you know that is that Chris Hutchison with that account and you can just go, bing?
Yeah, that clever idea, and it makes a lot of sense. So actually, everyone becomes a verified account in effect. If they're a real person, that then they can use it as their identity. A bit like we use Facebook as our identity in lots of places now.
Yes.
But only you can only do that when it's verified. Yeah, clever idea. You should go and join Twitter.
Yeah, well, I might have to.
Make it a patent. Because patent wars are good right now. Having them in your pocket is good.
I miss Henry at this point. We need Henry going, oh, good grief.
Because a while back we did report this, but this is probably years ago rather than that recently. Microsoft and Apple got together and they outbid Google for a set of patents from a company that had gone under, Nortel. that went bankrupt. 2009 this was. This is years ago. We might not. Were we even running then? I can't even remember. Anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, they're crikey, O'Reilly. So Google were on their own and they bid an awful lot of money. I think it was like $4.4 billion.
And the reason I'm seeing we're running this was it was 2011. They went bust 2009, and then I think the sale happened 2011. And that was in the middle of all our let's talk about patents.
Yes, when we really got boring. Anyway, we are now seeing the fruits of those patent wars because, like I say, Google didn't win that bid. They got up to $4.4 billion on their own. And Microsoft and Apple clubbed together with a couple of other big firms and bought this set of patents, $4.5 billion. And just the other day, they have now filed, this company they set up to collaborate has filed 6 patents against Google and Android. Sorry, 6 claims against them.
Yes. And it's all, because the kind of patent stuff has kind of gone under the radar a little bit. Some of the smaller ones had all bubbled up, but all these big ones had seemed to die away.
We thought they had all gone away because they're all so, you know, it's the, you know, what's that bloody TV, the film? Gangster film. Oh, Reservoir Dogs. They're all pointing guns at each other's heads. They're all going to die.
Yeah.
That took a while.
I was thinking of like big countries and nuclear weapons pointing at each other. No. And then you ruined it by saying gangster. And I was like, oh, crap. That's obviously not.
But that's the situation they were all in. So they all thought, well, let's put our guns down. But now it seems like someone either thinks they've got a strong position, they want to stir things up, they really think they can go get them.
Yeah.
So now they've put these 6 in. Maybe this is really forcing everyone's hand. Maybe they've cocked the trigger on the gun.
Yeah, and obviously Google's not happy. They've said that this is part of a hostile, organized campaign against Android.
I think they're right.
Exactly. And I just the whole thing is, and I mean, Obama this year has talked about patents and saying we need to fix this. And it's like, you do, because this is actually destroying so much innovation.
Patents have generated an awful lot of wealth, but what I mean is, they're not creating real wealth. People are just using these as nuclear weapons, as we just said. You know, they're stockpiling these things, not for the reason that they should be being stockpiled. They're being stockpiled to go get people, and it's not nice.
I know each of these companies. The thing is, it's not, in this case, they're not using these patents to win money. They're using these patents to stop the competitor. They're using it, and that's the bit that's like, you know, fair enough if it's some sort of license fee. Because remember, Nokia were saying, all we're looking for is our fair share of, we've done this innovation, you've now used it, give us what we're entitled to. And a part of me can kind of get that, because that's how you encourage firms to continually innovate. Because if there's no point, I mean, if I could innovate something and then everybody just copies me and I don't get anything for well, years hello, and years China. And years of work. I know. But I think I can see partly why that kind of works. It's this kind of thing where it's like, right, we're just going to sink. You know, we're going to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, and then boom.
Yeah, that's why it's an impossible situation, but that's why patents exist. But this is not why that patent exists. Anyway. Don't worry, because Google will win out, because they've patented a new heart gesture, which will be worth billions one day.
So back in 2011, so 2011 seems to be the year of the patent, because that's all our podcast was. I liked how you said that's where we got born. Got? It's maybe not the word I would have used. So seemingly they have painted a whole load of kind of gestures. So if you're wearing some sort of glass type device and you do a gesture of a heart, it will then, you know, recognize that and do something. Like, I guess it'll like it on Google Plus or do something in Google Plus. And they've also registered gestures like, you know, when you frame like a picture, they've registered that. So I guess when you do that, it'll take a picture
of whatever you're framing. It's, you know, but all these things, how do they even get patents for that? How can that not have prior art? Everyone does that anyway. It's frustrating, but they can seem to be able to do it, and so they will. But it's bullshit, and that's why they. Oh, excuse me. That's how strongly I feel. It's frustrating that they even now feel the need to patent everything that they think about, just so that they can keep this ticking on. Anyway, Tesco petrol stations. They're watching you.
Yes.
they're going to install face scanning technology, and they're going to target adverts based on what and who they believe you are, not on a personal level, but how old they think you are, and if they think you're a man or a woman, they will push adverts at you.
Yep, seemingly to do, one of the main things they're using to detect whether you're a man or a woman is the length of your hair.
So if this biker goes up with long hair
and gets an advert for Tampax.
He's going to be well chuffed. And
I just hope he takes a picture and sends it to Lord Sugar, because this is all from Amstrad.
I was all worried about this technology until I realised that actually it was Lord Sugar's company. Then we all know it's just not going to work and it's going to fail. But they are installing it in nearly all of, a lot of their petrol stations. So this is going to be interesting. And obviously, all the privacy people have been out saying this is a disgrace. You have to get people's authority to do this kind of stuff. There you go. We'll see where it goes. I'm in that kind of whatever. I'll get upset if they go, "Hey, fatty, that's some chocolate."
But it's when you walk up and they'll be like, "Yeah, are you fat, small, and single?" And you start.
As you're trying to pay for your petrol. Thanks.
And you're just like, okay, I just want some petrol. You know, and it's a fact that you kind of think, you know, if they're recording, you know, how far does it go? Do they then go and, like, are they scanning for your Facebook profile? Are they scanning for other stuff to kind of link it all together?
Well, they've said that none of this is personally identifiable.
But with everything,
you know, people have habits, and Tesco's can pretty much identify you just from what you've checked out through their checkouts. It's not, you know, they don't know it's you, but they can tell that it was Tuesday evening at about 7 o'clock, and therefore it's probably Chris, because look, he's buying pretty much the same stuff, but with some extras there. So, yeah.
And look at iPhoto and all these other ones that do the kind of face matching. So if I put in that you're Chris, it matches you for the last 40 years. And we know Facebook and Google
have got quite well at 40 years.
Are you not 40? No. Anyway, the... Damn. The
5 years of that would have been very boring.
Yeah. But you know, no, all I was trying to say was, you know, if you can do that in iPhoto, we've been doing it for 2 years, and we've already said that Facebook and kind of Google have been doing this already. Yeah. I think it's just we're just waiting for it to happen. That, you know, you'll put a photo up and it auto tags everything, and everybody's already done. And
I think we're being broken down more and more and more to the point where I think actually that we'll just accept it at one point, and it will be Minority Report. It will be, you know, hello, Mr. Hutchinson.
NSA nonsense and GCHQ nonsense. I'm amazed. People are just like,
I mean, it's been in the news, which is, you know, always the good sign that something, you know, someone's kicking off somewhere, but actually people are just going, I just accepted it. But it's, yeah, that's pretty, like I've said before, I think that's all very, very ugly. There we go.
Speaking of ugly,
we had Google's Californian self-driving cars, and we are going to have
Milton Keynes.
Oh, mind you, be good for learning roundabouts.
I just get visions of, like, constantly going round and round and round.
Well, Milton Keynes is one of the most organised towns that we've got, actually, because it's all based around a grid system. And all the roads are kind of numbered and lettered. So it is very American in that respect, and probably for a self-drive car is actually easier to work than a real complicated city with loads of roundabouts and, you know, all those kind of things. So I can see why they chose it.
Yeah, but basically these are Total Recall, Johnny cars, Johnny cabs, whatever they're called. These are just basically Johnny cabs. So it's
they go
cars,
12 miles an hour.
Yep, 12 miles an hour on preset automated routes.
Someone sort of said, okay, we're going to do this. How can we, subdue all the health and safety? Well, at 12 miles an hour, we don't reckon you can have a crash where you can hurt yourself.
You know what it reminded me of as well? See, back in the 40s and 50s, Glasgow had trams.
Yes.
That were on predetermined routes that you hopped on and off that probably went around 12 miles an hour. So it's good to know that 50 years later, we've been talking
about these kind of driving pods. So yeah, it's little steps. I think it's quite exciting, actually. I don't know. Have I talked about my car bus idea?
No, but I get the feeling you're about to unleash it on the world.
Car train. So yeah, basically you have on the inside lane of a motorway is just a car train, and you get to join that car train, and then the car's intelligent enough to slot into the train of cars, and you can just sit back, kick back, and it'll send you off your exit route when you get to there. And in the meantime, you're just sat in a car train.
Does it play a bit of convoy music as you're
it should
along?
Do, yeah. But it's clever enough that once, you know, if someone wants to join the car train, then everyone in the queue sort of spreads out a little bit to go and fit the next person in. And it's centrally controlled by some sort of computer. There you go. I should patent it.
What it's if it gets hacked? Does that mean we can slow everybody down?
Speed them up. More fun. Anyway, there you go. Google has been ordered to remove images of Max Mosley getting his stuff on.
What I don't get, everybody knows he's a Nazi, right? So everybody knows he dresses up as a Nazi. And he's went to court and said, Google, get rid of these photos. And the issue for Google with this kind of thing is it's not them that are putting the photo up. It's other people who are putting the photo up and they're indexing it. And Max Mosley's won his case.
Yeah, so it all started way back when. So he got, you know, had photos taken of him being kinky. He didn't like it. He said that was an invasion of privacy, which he got granted that. Well, he was granted that. And this is a continuation of that. He's gone to Google and said, right, there's 9 images which I keep asking you to take down. And you do take them down. Every time I ask you to take them down, problem is someone else puts them up. Google are saying, we can't stop people putting them up. As soon as you tell us about them, we'll take them down, no problem. But this is a ruling saying, Google, you've got to be clever about this. And if you see those images going up, then you need to take them down automatically.
Which is mental.
Mental?
Because this is going to just go on and on and on. You know, so Wayne Rooney and grannies, any kind of picture of those, he's going to say, take them down.
And Google have come back and said, look, this is censorship. This is not takedowns. This is actually, we are search engines and nothing to do with what people have put on the internet. We just report back on it. And it's not our job to be the censors of the internet. And now you're saying we've got to block you.
And that's what they've said there. The French court has instructed us to build what we believe amounts to a censorship machine.
Yeah. So they're not happy, and they will appeal, basically. So watch this space.
And never mind, dressing up like a Nazi and taking part in a sex kind of filled Nazi orgy does not mean that he's a Nazi. Or that it was Nazi themed, just that he dressed up as a Nazi.
Google Now for iOS has been brought up to date, and effectively it is now as good as it, or pretty much as good as it is on Android.
Okay, Google.
Yeah, so you've got the OK Google command now, and it's also integrating in with reminders and notifications. So it will pop up and tell you the kind of things, all your flights being delayed. You are here. Remember to go and do that. So all those kind of things it now does. Good for iOS. Nuclear war on patents might stop things like this.
good for iOS. It works a treat. I installed, and what you don't get, it's not the same as if you're using it's not the same as if you're using a Nexus 5 in America. I'll come on to that in a minute. But you need to, so you can't, it's not listening right now. So if I say, okay, Google, it's just like, yeah.
You've got to be in the app.
Got to be in the app. But the best bit was I got my mum to do it. And she went, okay, Google, what's the directions to Kelvin Grove Art Gallery? And back it came straight away. And it was just like this, oh, that's the future.
Wow. Magic. Now, I have to admit, is something that I have hardly used on my Android. I thought I'd use it all the time when I first picked up the phone because I was kind of into doing it just to see what it would do. But I just don't anymore. I don't know why.
I see, part of me thinks, well, it depends. Because you're kind of a home worker. Mm. I think if you were traveling quite a lot and moving around quite a lot, you would get a lot more of the, you know, your next appointment's this and you're 10 minutes away, you better leave now, all that kind of stuff. And I guess a few times that I do it, it does kind of work like that. And you're like, ah, that's nice.
And once you've seen that benefit, it kind of ingrains itself there.
And you know it's there. And you can, even if you
Whereas I'm in a browser already, so why wouldn't I just type it in? Or even, exactly. I mean, in my local browser, you can talk to it now. So, you know, Google has the microphone button, so you just click it, don't you? But again, I don't do that either.
And so one of the other nice thing was just, as you said, notifications, which you kind of took for advantage in the Android side of things, but it was always kind of locked off or it wasn't part of iOS, it is now. And he's even doing a reminder. So it was like, okay, Google, remind me tomorrow to do my expenses. And I got a reminder. And it was like, yay, that's nice. One of my mates at work picked up a Nexus 5.
Okay.
So a couple of quick things. Screen is gorgeous. It's actually designed really, really well. You know, it's quite light.
Yeah, so I hadn't seen the pictures of it. I see, because it was only just before the podcast that it actually came out last time, and the pictures look good. And everyone, everyone's saying build quality is quite good, not, you know, not on iPhone standard.
I actually felt good. So you know, it's a bit plastic. There's a matte kind of rubbery back to it, but it actually felt nice and grippy. You know, when you held it in the hand, it was.
You know what my moan
no,
about
exactly.
my old.
Exactly, I know, because you didn't get the little nipples. Because I remember you got yours and it was slidey and it would just move on
it
any
still
slight
does.
Incline.
Any time there's even half a degree, it will just go. In fact, on a flat table, eventually it will just fall off. It's mad. It's just bonkers.
Exactly. And this one doesn't.
They've learnt.
This one doesn't. It's like you can hold it up, you know, 90 degrees and it sticks to your hand.
Yeah, good.
But as I said, the first thing that hits you is that screen, because it fills the front of the phone and the bezel. Oh,
it's literally tiny. Is a screen. And we've seen concept photos. You know, when people kind of mock up what they want the next iPhone to look like. And it's always like edge-to-edge screen.
Yeah.
And so they've got quite close to that then, basically.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a 1080p, looks gorgeous. Not tried the camera on it. What else was it? I guess going back to build quality, the guy that bought it did have one little fault. And that was, and I could see his point on the, I can't remember if it was a power or volume rocker on the right-hand side. It's a really sharp edge to the whole thing.
Okay.
So round like the power, if it is the power button, round it was actually, you could feel it, not saying it was cutting your hand, but sharp.
Uncomfortable, yeah.
And you're like, a little chamfer just round that would have taken it away, and you would never have noticed that it was chamfered. It would just have been nice.
Yep.
So just, but that's really small and tiny. Power, performance, everything looked really good. And I was like, oh, have you set up OK Google? I don't know how to. And we Googled, and it turns out you need to set it to US English.
Really?
Doesn't work for UK English.
Okay, there you go.
And also disappointingly.
And that probably sets up all the other things wrongly as well, so you probably don't want to do that.
So he wants to stay UK English, so you can't do the OK Google.
I bet that's because of privacy.
I don't know. The other disappointing thing is that OK Google isn't part of Android 4.4, as they kind of indicated last week. It's a Nexus 5 exclusive.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that, because they talked about it, I'm sure, for the one that's on my phone, whatever it is I got now, I can't remember what version of it was. Jelly Bean, is it? I'm sure they talked about it for Jelly Bean, that it was never there, and then they talked about it at Key Lime Pie, and now it's a Nexus 5 thing. So again, maybe they're just worried about having these devices listening, or maybe it's a direct power drain or something, I don't know.
And that's the thing, because power was the other thing that sprung to mind. If you're building a device specifically to you know, it's a bit like Apple with that M7, you know, they've taken it off the main CPU and they've got this M7 chip doing all the, it's very low power and it's cataloging your steps, etc. Maybe that, you know, whatever's detecting the OK Google, if it's sitting there listening all the time, it's a little
it's got to
component.
Be on a little dedicated chip or whatever. Yeah, and other phones don't have it yet, maybe.
Anyway, a really nice device. So I felt
and a great price. Really good. I mean, for the price, again,
absolutely.
It's just bonkers.
Oh, see, when you look at it, bargain.
Yeah.
Bargain.
Yep. Google Drive has, on iOS now has, you can have multiple accounts.
Finally.
Yeah.
That's that story. Finally. Yeah.
Microsoft has added real-time editing to its Office web apps eventually. Finally, again. So they talked about this ages and ages ago, but they've finally solved all the issues with that. So you can now log into their online Excel and you can maintain it with someone else at the same time.
Yes.
Are we that excited? Not really. Does anyone use it? I've not heard of anyone using these things in everyday life.
No, not really.
No. I still think people like their applications, you know, their dedicated applications. There we go. Do you want to take Everpix? The sad news of Everpix's demise.
Yeah. Did I ever talk Everpix? Can you
no, not
me
on
ever
the podcast.
This? Right. So Everpix was one of these kind of future, and it launched about a couple of years ago. It got a lot of traction, I think, in the last sort of 6-9 months, because they started sponsoring some podcasts, and, you know, that's how it started getting word out. And basically, it was a really smart way of managing your photos. It ran in the background. So once you installed it, it grabbed all your photos, threw them up online, did clever things like, you know, on this day last year before, etc. So a bit like the time hop app in iOS, it would tell you, do you remember this from 5 years ago? And it was just different. And also it kind of did some automagic round, let's put this into a set, you know, so this was all on the same day, they were all taking it at Silverstone, so we'll call this set Silverstone and all that kind of good stuff. And it did work really nicely, so much better than the kind of Apple's equivalent, you know, with the kind of sharing the photos and better than Google's. It was really nice, got a lot of traction. And then out of the blue, so The Verge had a post up on the 5th, so that was only a couple of days ago, saying, we're shutting, that was it. They just couldn't afford to keep it going.
So it sounds like they got enough people on board initially to cover their expenses, but it didn't cover their wage bill. So no. It was just not a viable going concern. Same kind of things, the problem I see with Twitter, you know, you cover your expenses.
And if you look at it, it's amazing. If you look at the Verge article, it's fantastic because it's almost like there's been lots of talk recently about, oh, you know, you shouldn't be charging $2.99 for an app, shouldn't be charging $4.99 for an app, should be going free with an app purchase, should be going this and blah, blah, blah. Here's a service, it's great. Everybody that uses it thought it was great. People were paying for a year's service and thought, yeah, that's fine. And it wasn't enough. People need to pay for these things. They don't just... If you look at it and say, well, Facebook and Google can do it for free, it's like, yeah, but you're giving up your privacy. You're giving something up for it. They're not free services. There is a cost to you. You might not see it in pounds and pence. And I've just jumped onto the site because I was trying to see funds raised 2.3 million. Subscription revenue was 254. This is all in dollars, 254,000. But then they ran through all the costs and the net income. They'd lost 2.5 million.
Yeah, investors clearly didn't see the spark that they see elsewhere.
And Path almost bought them, and then it fell through.
Well, to be honest, if they had bought them, I think it would have been the death of them anyway.
And there's a couple other firms, and what they've basically said is that they've sold the kind of technology and hardware. They've not revealed to who, but that was so they can do a clean exit. And by clean exit, they mean instead of just shutting down tomorrow, they've actually put emails out to everybody and said, grab your photos, because a lot of people were using this as a photo storage. So instead of storing it locally. So what they've said is, we're still going to be up for the next, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. Here's how to download your photos. Make sure you do in case you lose them. But it was out the blue. I mean, some people were just signed up 2 or 3 days before and thinking this is great and shut down.
Yeah, that's good value.
So it's just kind of a cautionary tale of, you know, it's great to sign up to these things, but, you know, think about your data, think about where it's going. Pay for a service if you value it as well.
Yeah, pay for it and pay for it more.
But in this case, people were paying for it and it wasn't enough.
It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. And in some ways, it's like, you know, were they offering one of these kind of, you know, somebody will buy us. You know, Facebook, Twitter, Google, somebody's going to come in and buy this because it's such a good service, but it wasn't.
Yeah. Things like photos, you know, maybe in the long run, you're better off going with an Amazon type cloud S3 storage bucket, which you control. You get to put the data in, and there are companies that will interface with your own buckets. So,
yeah.
Well, maybe that's where it's going to end up. You have your own store of data, and I think, yeah, your own store of data, and then other people come in and look at the front end for it.
Yeah. The problem with the cloud stuff is a lot of people are just seeing it as too expensive still. Mm. Still feels too expensive.
It's too expensive and too slow for most people's internet connections. So.
And I meant that there's also that it's a time cost. You know, the broadband's not quick enough. And then if it's all up there, how do I get it? You know, if I've got a terabyte of photos up there and I want to get them all down again and I've nothing local,
burning a CD takes ages and stuff. If they want to make something physical from what they're doing, yeah, it's too much.
There's still a lot to be said for, you know, find another geek buddy or just buy another drive and swap them around every so often.
Yeah, that for your own local backup storage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, now, Gran Turismo 6. This is a PlayStation 3 game because they decided they were going to release it on PlayStation 3. And apparently we're going to see it on December the 12th? Something like that. And they've released a trailer that they say is the final trailer before release.
Yep.
Are we going to see it on December the 12th, number one?
Well, I can only take the word for it. There's still.
They said it before.
5 weeks, 4 weeks, or whatever to pull out.
The trailer they released looks pretty impressive, as ever.
It does. The only reason I kind of put this in, Gran Turismo annoys me. I've told you that before. That Gran Turismo kind of annoys me because I just think graphics is all right, but it's the same tracks for like 15 years now. So yeah, they've got 1,200 cars now. It's like, wow.
But the thing, they showed even in the trailer two Land Rovers going around a track, and you think, is that really that fun and exciting? Is that, I mean, you know, do I really want to drive around in a little crappy thing?
Do you fancy racing on the moon?
Yeah, that's such a gimmick. Yes, they put the moon in.
Good God.
however, there's no denying that as a game, it's a pretty impressive simulator. Unfortunately, it's just crippled by its controller, and that's not changed.
One reason I added this in, and it's a bit like you talked about I've forgotten it already, was the car train. Woo-woo! and this was this. So what they've added in is a GPS logger. The GPS logger will employ the GPS function of your phone or tablet, and Gran Turismo's in-game course maker to recreate your everyday school run or work commute as a circuit. And see, since like PGR, and I blame PGR for this, because they put up, when PGR 2 came out, I think Edinburgh was in it, and they put up a sign saying like Glasgow 50 miles, and I was like, do Glasgow! And instead, they did those cocks in Edinburgh.
How quick could it be to crowdsource something like that? A track of Glasgow? It'd be pretty amazing.
I've always wanted, why can't they take, you know, why can't they take like Google Maps and just make it good enough? You know, the graphic-wise, it'll be
Do you remember
good
ages
enough.
Ago, I think I had a pick. There was this weird laser mapping tool which zoomed, you know, pinged out millions of laser beams, and it kind of came back as a dot map of the street, and it actually looked incredibly lifelike, and it was just from this LiDAR. Something like that could, I mean, that's what they do use to map these tracks, but there must be a way of data sourcing that just makes it quicker. But there's something very, you want to do your own. It's like Google Maps. You can go around the whole entire world. You've got the whole globe at your fingertips. And what does everybody do? They go to their front door. And they go to their house.
Absolutely. And there's just something about for and you'll be the same you're used to. You'd love to do, there'd be something in your head that would be like, wouldn't it be great to race this?
Try that out.
Yeah.
And I do. I haven't got a story in here, but I kind of made my mind up on my launch games for Xbox One. So I thought I'd let you know what they are. So I'm going to go down the Battlefield route.
So will I.
And I'm going to go down the Assassin's Creed, because that will give me a good background game. And the reviews of it have been pretty spectacular.
I was just talking about it, one of the guys at work. He's an Assassin's Creed fan. And
I haven't played any of the games. So,
loving Black Flag.
Mm. And so universally, the reviews of it have said it's an amazing game. So I haven't played any of the previous in the series. So I hope that doesn't, you know, in fact, that might be a good thing because I'm not jaded by it. Forza and Titanfall in the, but that's not a launch game, so that's in the new year. There you go, that's my direction.
What about Team Lick?
On what?
FIFA?
No.
Come on.
No.
Come on.
Not interested in the slightest.
I was always getting FIFA and Forza. Titanfall, as you said, next year. And looking at like COD and looking at Battlefield, it's Battlefield I'm going down.
Yeah. Go on.
I just said I did fall into the trap of looking at the old resolution wars over the last kind of week.
Yeah, it's all pointless muck.
And it's like, hold on, I'm about 2.5-3 meters away from my TV.
What the side by side show is that actually, even looking at previous gen versions of these games next to the new next gen, let alone PlayStation 4 next to Xbox One, there's so little difference really on the grand scheme of things.
There is.
I don't think that's what this next gen's about. I think it's the extra power and the movement of things. Like, so you could see more things in the world when they were on the next gen rather than actual massive step up in graphic fidelity.
So certainly I'll be picking up these three titles at launch. You know, so we're a couple of weeks away, 2 weeks tomorrow, and I'll get Battlefield.
I've now pre-ordered them now. So
FIFA, and I might Assassin's Creed. You know, I'm actually kind of contemplating Assassin's Creed and Madden. I might get around Christmas.
Now, and people have said that Rise, Son of Rome, is also a lot better than they expected. They're saying it's nothing like a classic, but they said it's very pretty and actually is a lot better a game than they ever thought it was going to be. They said Project Spark, though, is pretty ropey.
I would rather take a hammer to my cock than play Rise.
There you go. You've heard it.
Honestly, it looks... So, yeah, it looks nice, but it's like Shenmue, quick time. Oh, press B!
Yeah,
press
and I'd say it's one of those games
press
that
B,
does...
Chris.
It always gets released at launch titles. It's graphic porn, so that's probably one of the best-looking games that there will be released, yet it's the least game-like of all of them. And I think they've said that the launch range on all consoles is pretty mediocre, and they reckon the console that's going to win this Christmas or should win on games alone is the Wii U. Because it's slightly more mature and the game releases are much, much more high quality. There you go. That is the end of our podcast. If you want to find out more, you can do digitaloutbox.com. Talk to us. Email info@digitaloutbox.com, Twitter and Skype, Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as Cheesy UK, and my blog for racing stuff is academyracer.co.uk. Where can we find you, Ian?
My blog is eand.net, where I have stunningly revealed that I didn't pick up an Apple iPad last week.
Yes, you resisted.
Fondled.
Now, I said on the podcast last week that you heard it here first that you were just going to buy an iPad Air, and I still think I'm right, but you have withheld for a little bit.
I was in last Friday, so we recorded Thursday, and on Friday afternoon, very light, must admit. It was like, oh, that is actually noticeably lighter. Mm. And I know it's one of these things, you see the grams and you're like, it is, but and the guy was like, oh.
No, because the one thing we said about iPad always, always, always is that it's slightly too heavy.
Yep. And just that slightly narrower, yes, I can hold it stretched in one hand and all that. And I thought, you know, yeah, this is the one. And I'm kind of convinced I will get one. I'm kind of convinced I'll get a Logitech keyboard for it as well. do you know the only thing that's in my head now? Because the guy was like, oh, are you interested in it? I said, yeah. I said, you all sold out by any chance? He went, anything you want, we're not sold out at all. And even looking at the store today, it's
but why
like,
does that, why does that put you off? That's weird.
No, it doesn't. The thing that puts me off is, see if I could get through the next, and I know this is desperate, see if I can get through like the next 6-7 weeks without buying one. Right?
If you could possibly survive.
Yeah. And this is the thing, because there's not that much difference. Because at the end of the day, it's a 9.7-inch tablet, which I've already got. The screen's exactly the same.
It's running the same operating system. You've already got a quite fast one.
See, if I had Touch ID, I think I would be absolutely sold.
Okay.
Because I love that in the phone. It's like, that is the best. But see if I could get through like 6-7 weeks.
Then you surely could just last, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing coming out that needs that extra power yet.
But there's nothing to say that I wouldn't just buy one tomorrow.
No, exactly. Yeah, no. Anyway, sorry. Yes.
Anyway, so my blog is indeed.net, Twitter is Feeper, and I'll keep my pick till next week. Seeing as I wasn't asked about it.
Oh, well, you didn't write a note to say I should ask.
Oh, sorry, Headmaster.
I'm going to Tesco's. See you later. Goodbye.
Enjoy being scanned. Goodbye.
Christopher Hutchinson.